Back in 2006, I was a user of Gert Hoffmann's Linux Frame Buffer Image Viewer, FBI. At some point, I wanted to add Vim-styled keys for movement. So I came up with a patch for FBI. Soon after, I wanted a simple command line and shortcuts to jump around. And then commands came, and a parser, and auto-completion. Inspiration came from Vim, Matt, the shell, and so Vim grew, hack after hack. What is Vim now? Vim is a Unix tool specialized in viewing image files. Let me stress this, viewing, not editing. Vim is customizable via configuration files and is interoperable with other Unix tools. Vim adheres to the Perl slogan, there's more than one way to do it. Thanks to caching and prefetching, Vim plays well with slower computers. It spares disk read time. It has a minimalistic user interface, no buttons, no menus, and it's flexible. It displays images as pixels or characters via SSH, under screen. If invoked in the Linux frame buffer, Vim uses it. Under X11, Vim runs in a window or full screen. Another option is to display images as ASCII art, even in color. Runtime auto-detection will try choosing the most appropriate mode. You can also specify one yourself via the command line. Vim offers a consistent look and feel across those different graphical modes. Invoking Vim from the shell to open image files works as you expect. File decoding depends on file contents, not on the file name. You can also load directories, even recursively, or in the background. In scanning a directory, a file name-based selection occurs. And this is to avoid opening and inspecting contents of too many files. Interactive usage is keyboard-oriented. Arrow keys for movement, plus, minus for scale, N for next, P for previous, or page down. They do what you expect. Each one of those keys is bound to an action. An action may be invoking a simple command, or a command with expressions as arguments. An action can also contain control flow, as the one associated with page down on the bottom of the slide. The thing is, under the hood, there is a language interpreter. Just as in Vim, you access it with the colon key. And just as in Vim, or the shell, there is autocompletion. Configuration files are scripts written in this language. Vim's language consists of commands, aliases, variables, control constructs, and special shortcuts. I develop Vim for my daily use, to occasionally open files, or to load a curated collection of photographs. Sometimes I come up with more tricky use cases, perhaps updating the configuration file with new aliases, or updating my shell configuration with new aliases using Vim. So far, I talked about introductory topics. I'm also presenting at another talk at this FOSDEM. That talk is about general interactive usage, and it may be of your interest too. But now, we will cover language-specific topics. Of the FIM commands, the most important ones are those to move around, scale the image, and get help. Purpose of the help, go to, scale, pan commands is self-explanatory. Other important commands like list or limit manipulate the file list. Please check out my talk on interactive FIM usage for that. How to start using FIM commands effectively? You usually pick the functionality you like, experiment a bit, and express it as an alias. This can be a command with argument like pan left or go 2 plus 1. Or it can be a more complicated statement. Here you have next 10 for a simple slideshow loop. Notice how their arguments are quoted. The idea is to streamline your work, your workflow. No matter how complex an action, you should be able to encapsulate it. As Larry Walsh said, easy things should be easy and hard things should be possible. FIM has each of its commands and variables documented. The manual pages are generated from the help command. The help command is also dynamic, so you can use it to get the actual key bindings and aliases. Now, certain frequent actions have direct language shortcuts. You may want to use those occasionally via the interactive command line. One is jumping to a specific position in the files list. So, for the third position, enter the command line with colon, enter digit 3, and hit enter. For the first or the last one, you may recognize the caret and dollar syntax as familiar here. The shortcuts of this slide instead are for rescaling images by specific factors. As you see, this exploits the fine-grained control that the scale command offers. What you see are standalone FIM statements, of course. Another shortcut syntax prefixes a command by a number. The command, or a block, will be repeatedly executed that specific number of times. One can interrupt the iterations by hitting escape, for instance. You can use a so-called range syntax to repeat an action on a filename interval. Just specify number, comma number before a command. Use this to invoke commands on filenames, which will be substituted to open-close curly brackets. This usage of the bracket substitution mimics the syntax of the Unix find utility. FIM uses dynamic variables and a weak type system. Internally, a variable can be an integer, a floating point number, or a string. You can combine expressions with several operators. Strings concatenate with dot. There are two quoting styles for strings. Within single quotes, you only have to escape using backslash single quotes. Within double quotes, you escape double quotes. FIM sets several variables, many meant to be used only internally. Some other variables are meant to be controlled by the user. These are the configuration variables and may, for instance, control caching behavior or customize the status line or the window manager caption. In the case of the special variable random, think of it as it were a function. Certain variables prefixed by I colon are contextual to the current image. They may hold its file name, size, or the current width. But also special information like EXIF metadata. I, for instance, really like to have those being displayed in the status line. Variables are the glue of the language, but autocomments are the glue of the theme internals. Autocomments, inspired by Vim, are actions that trigger if the current file name matches a pattern on a specific event. There is a dozen of specific events defined in Vim. You have a list of them in the man FimRC. Autocomments are tricky, but also very powerful. Now, remember the special range syntax? One must say, one can also use it to rudimentarily interact with the shell from within Vim. The example here repeats the copy command with a changing first argument. It copies each file into a specific directory. You could think the open closed brackets as the I colon file name variable. This feature is to be used with lots of care. By now, you know enough of the language that you can experiment in the internal command line. You can also make Vim run custom scripts or customize the configuration. It would be useful to know that Vim has command recording functionality. See the write script out option, for instance. With it, when terminating your usage session, Vim can save all the executed actions along with timings into a text file, a script. You can then replay that session by executing that output script. Just remember that only executed commands are saved. The actual invocation arguments to Vim will not be there. Also worth to know, in your scripts, you can control the exit status. This is good for interaction with shell scripts. You can signal success or failure of a script. Indeed, so far, we have mostly seen internal scriptability. But Vim has several command line options. There are many things you can do with them. And interacting with shell pipes. You can read and execute a script via the standard input. You can read images via the standard input. Or perhaps print file name lists as output of one Vim instance and back, reading back as input in another Vim instance. We are approaching the end of the talk. You might be curious and want to know that Vim consists of circa 42,000 lines of C++ code. The language parser has been written in Bison and Flex. And, well, details of the grammar are in man FimRC. Vim's language offer many possibilities. But this can be still improved a lot. Variable identifiers are not always clear. Detecting mistakes in a program can be difficult. Output could be escaped or quoted better. Sometimes I wish less quoting were possible. Autocompletion could be richer. And wouldn't it be awesome to use your favorite extension or customization language instead of this one here? Well, this is the end of our tour of Theme's internal language. Theme is packaged on several Linux distributions, so you can check out yours to obtain Theme. The documentation is mostly inside two man pages. And perhaps the other Theme talk I am giving at this FOSDEM, specific about interactive usage, can be of your interest too. So I hope you will be enjoying Theme as much as I do. Thanks for your attention.
We are live now. We don't seem to have any questions. You could add something if you have anything to add beyond the talk itself. So maybe I could ask questions like, did you consider using a Lisp-like language for the for Theme, and why did you choose your specific kind of syntax?
I don't know if Lisp is a minimalistic language in that it requires a certain degree of parentheses, as far as I know, and that is already too much, or more than what I wanted. I don't exclude the idea of having Lisp to interact with Theme in the future.
Okay.
But still, I wanted to have minimalistic syntax, like the one that you have seen with the shortcut jump commands. You cannot have that in Lisp.
So you wanted some a little bit of really short syntax. Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
I am referring to slide 14. No, sorry, I am referring to slide 17 and 18.
Okay. Yeah.
There is a question by Piotr. Perhaps I can answer it straight away.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm not enough an Emacs user to have.
Could you read out the question as well? I mean.
Yeah. Piotr asks, "Do you have mappings for Emacs?" And my answer is, I'm not that much of an Emacs user to know it. However, the mappings, I mean, already if you tell me, Piotr, what is Emacs style in interactive usage, it's no problem for me, to come up with a few key mappings, because this is configurable, as you will also see in the using Theme presentation this afternoon, which is less nerdy than this one. And when it comes to the language, the command line, I didn't say it, or I didn't put much emphasis on this, but Theme uses autocompletion based on libredline. Libredline is what you use in many shells and allows you to have autocompletion. So that has interactive autocompletion with Emacs style. However, that works under the frame buffer and not in X11. So it's not exactly as we wish it. Perhaps can be fixed. Okay, I hope I answered the two aspects of Emacs style working with Vim. Please come up with another question, please.
So could you say something about your motivation for writing Vim? Why did you want to take on this project?
Oh, thanks, Arun. I wanted to be able to suit my very personal style of opening files or browsing files, especially PDFs. At the beginning, I liked to have PDFs and I wanted to use a style which is more Vim oriented. And at the time, I didn't have a suitable alternative that I liked. It's mostly to suit my own needs, which, and it continues this way. And also for the fun. So these are the motivations behind Vim.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. So you wanted a PDF reader and an image reader that can be used with Vim. So,
yeah, when it comes to the PDFs, because I didn't speak here in this talk, but there is a script which transforms images into, sorry, PDFs or similar files into PNGs.
Mm-hmm.
It's called FimJS.
Okay.
And it's nothing else than the translation of FBIJS. Because okay. FBI is an means to be an improvement of FIM means to be an improvement of FBI. Yeah.
I suppose it uses Ghost script as to convert.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It can also open CBZ or tarballs.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
To extract stuff. The extraction is not recursive, unfortunately.
Mm.
That it's something that I wish to have at some point. Recursive extraction of tarballs or PDFs into images or archives. Archives also can be opened, by the way. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have any other questions? I don't see any. There seems to be a bit of a lag in my question score. Box.
Mm-hmm.
But there are no questions. So I'll ask one more. So when you convert these PDFs to images for viewing in Vim, can you search through the PDF? Search through the text of the PDF?
No.
Yeah.
Mm. The PDF will become an image, and that's all. I think In principle, yeah, by using Poplar, which is one library which Vim uses, might be possible in the future, but I don't plan this at the moment. For now, it's about images. Use something else if you really need to use fully PDF functionality. For now, stick to Vim for images. Okay. People use Vim for image frames. Good for them, but I think it's a bit not using Vim at the full potential. I think Vim should be used interactively for images. And when one wants to have some special custom command, then you are welcome to configure Vim. But mostly it's meant for interactive usage. So don't take me wrong here. It's not something for programming stuff. Use a library for that. Okay. This is just for viewing and viewing on steroids, hopefully. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, what do you mean by image frames? You said something about image frames.
I mean small devices.
Okay.
Which usually have a small screen, a very weak processor, which every 5 minutes, perhaps, changes an image and does a slideshow, which is very slow.
Oh, okay.
But it's usually not interactive. I think people use it for this and for the Raspberry Pi, for instance, because I think there is no X there, or let's say it's good to use the frame buffer there. But I encourage using Vim interactively every day, if you like this style of keyboard-oriented usage, of course. Mm-hmm. I wish to have menus, and I'm working on that, but that's not the spirit of Vim. Okay, I think the time is over.
You still have 2.5 minutes, I mean 2 hours 45 seconds. Sorry, 2 minutes 45 seconds. Yeah. I still don't see any more questions. It's probably a bit early in the morning. Yes. I asked the question about the PDFs because Emacs has something very similar to look at PDFs, and it has the same problem with search. It converts the PDFs to images, and then you can't really do much with the image. It's not a substitute for a PDF reader. That's the point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you? Manipulate SVG images using Vim.
Sorry, can you repeat, please?
Can you handle SVG images in Vim?
Which images?
Yeah, SVG, scalable vector graphics.
Yes.
Okay.
There is an internal conversion which uses Inkscape to produce to render internally a pixel map out of the SVG.
That's
so. True. You have different converters inside Vim. Sorry, not inside, being invoked by Vim to make out of even your custom format a pixel map. So I invite who wish to use this Vim this afternoon, my other talk. I think it's at 3:30 or something like this. It will be most about usage. So yeah, I think, guys, you should prepare for the next recording.
The next talk, I think someone else should be handling. Yeah.
Good.
So we're almost done.
Thanks, Arun.
If you want to add something, you have 20 seconds more.
Oh, I welcome to follow me live in Brussels this afternoon. Who is in Brussels or otherwise virtually?
Yeah.
Thanks, Arun. Thanks to organizer Manolis and Piotr.
Yeah, thank you, Mr.
Ciao.
Bye.